Welcome to the Female Fight Experience, the podcast where we share stories to inspire female Muay Thai fighters at all levels to jump in the ring. Brought to you by your hosts, Smokin' Joe Coverdale, and me, Bridget Tuckrai. All right, on the podcast today, we have got a pro Muay Thai fighter. She's 24 years old, but she's been fighting for 10 years. So she's pretty experienced given her age. She's also a recent legal graduate training under Anthony Manning from Phoenix Gym in Canberra. Welcome to the podcast, Olivia Kerr. How are you going, Olivia?
Good. Thanks so much for having me on today.
It is a pleasure. Can you start by telling me what's the story with your profile picture? Is that a Sopranos shout out?
It is.
Yes.
So that's like probably one of my favorite episodes of The Sopranos and my favorite character in The Sopranos. And I just thought it was so good. And my Instagram's always been a little bit trying to have a bit more fun with it. So I put it there when I watched the episode and I was like, this is great. And then I've just kept it there. So it doesn't fit with a lot of the fighting stuff, but yeah.
I actually, I'm a huge Sopranos fan. I have very fond memories of being at uni. I used to live with my brother and, close your ears, actually, we used to smoke then and binge watching The Sopranos, smoking ciggies, eating pizza. It's such a bingeable show.
It is a great show.
So good. Yeah.
You can't have an Instagram anymore, though.
I'm gonna keep the current
bloody waters of professional fighting. You gotta be updated and have everything on there.
No, I'm gonna keep it up and I'm gonna see how long I can do it. Because I don't think I'd be able to run a professional Instagram. I wouldn't be good at it. I need it to be like a little bit fun and like not take it that seriously.
That's good. That's the way to do it, is to not worry about being good at it.
Yeah.
Authenticity is like huge, like the Beast UFC's bloody Instagram account. Have you seen that? You probably haven't.
No, I haven't.
It's all
seen
just
that.
People getting smashed.
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah. But anyway, it relates to the people. So, well, you started Muay Thai super young. Do you want to get into how you found it and how you got to it?
Yeah. So, I started almost 10 years ago. So, I haven't been fighting for 10 years. I've been fighting for about seven. Seven? Oh my God. Yeah. So I started when I was 14. I always wanted to do like a boxing thing, but my parents were never super keen on it. And because I played soccer like every day, like that was a sport that I did. My family was really into that. Like I was really into that as well. And my dad bought his work van from Anthony. And I remember he came home and it was like covered in Phoenix stickers. And I was like, what's that? And he was like, oh, I've like bought this van, like I'm taking all these stickers off. And I was like, I'm gonna remember this place and mean. And then like 2 weeks later, I like started with one of my friends, just as like, oh yeah, like, you know, they've got like a teenager program, like, you know, we might as well go along and be super fun. And it was just like nothing else I'd ever done. Like you walk in and it's like, all right, like what are you doing? Like stop standing around, like take your shoes off, get on the mats. And it was like, holy shit, like, oh my God. And yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I started doing it, like just like fell in love with it. And that caused a bit of like a sticking point with my parents, because then when I was 18 and I moved out and I was like, I'm not playing soccer anymore. Like I'm just doing like Muay Thai. Like I love, you know, Phoenix too much. They were kind of like, oh, okay. But like, this isn't going to last very long. And yeah, here I am. So
What were they worried about? Or did they just think, I don't know, this is not going to stick?
Well, I think that kind of not classic parent thing, because I think not all parents are like this, but that kind of like combat aspect of it, like the fighting, competing, like being punched in the head, they weren't really keen on. Yeah. And, you know, the whole like, oh, what about your brain? And what about like the injuries? But I played soccer for like so long, and the amount of girls that would do their ACL every second week and like would bash, you know, like they would actually bash each other on the field, or like the politics of it was also nasty and horrible because, like, I don't know, like the community was a lot bigger that I was like, oh, and this sport's much better. Like, yeah. You know, so I think it was just a kind of like classic aversion to what you don't know type thing. But my mum actually came to my first fight because I was 17 and I had to have a parent come with me.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, I love my mum, but she can be a little bit of a snob, and it was love her. I was in Logan in Queensland, and like at a pub, like one of the kind of junior events that they do, where it's like, you know, like it's not dodgy, but you know, you're kind of like, it's not Canberra, and yeah, we were kind of like driving there and we pulled up to this tavern and I could just feel her shoulders like, just, like not relaxed the whole time. And yeah, after that she was like, I've seen what I need to see. You know, you can make your own decisions, but you know, that's all that I'm seeing. So yeah, neither of them have been to any of my fights since, but they've been a lot more. Yeah, I think they kind of trust me more now that they're like, something you like to do. Not something we want to see, but, you know, congratulations if you win. It's all fine if you didn't. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I need.
Oh, they need to come down to a rebel. They should come down to your next fight on Roots. That's a class event.
You know, weekend in Melbourne, like, there are much, you know, worse places to be. So, yeah, maybe I can send them this and be like, well, you know, people are expecting you there now. So they'll have to come.
Yeah, we'll send them this and chop out the bit we called your mum a snob.
When you first went in at 14 years old into the junior program there, were there many other girls in the class? Because I think about mine at the moment and there's like, I have like 30 students and maybe two or three girls.
Mm.
And the poor things, I'm like, they got to clinch with all these sweaty boys and I'm just like, sorry, but you're here.
Yeah. I think it's a difficult, 14 is a very difficult age for girls at sport because that's when girls drop off. Like a lot of them that do sport, you know, like maybe at a high level, that's the age when like, you know, school picks up and like friendship drama picks up and like boys happen. So I think that kind of, that's a sweet spot. I mean, the way that we've seen it at Phoenix is like, that's a spot that you're either like in or like people just stop going. And so I think I was there with a lot of other people my age that were in. And so that like made it kind of a good culture. But there were, I remember going into the class and being terrified of the other girls in there. Like the boys, I was like completely fine, not scared of them at all. But being partnered with some of the girls, I was like, she's going to leg kick me so hard and I'm just going to be fine and I'm going to like hold my breath and I'm going to be okay. But there's always been a really, really strong kids program at Phoenix. And that's like waxed and waned a little bit with terms of like moving locations and stuff that we've done the past few years. But there are, you know, there have been people at the gym that have been there since they were like five. Like they've done the whole team program through this. And then so they get to 14 and they've grown up and they have incredible technique and skill. And then like, you know, other 14-year-olds come in that are like super fit and strong, but then they just get bashed by them. So yeah, there were always like other girls in there that I was like always quite terrified of, but yeah, it was like, that's the thing that I really liked because I could recognize, I was like, because I've always been very competitive. I mean, as you probably get every single person on this podcast saying, like you can see, you're like, well, they're my age and my height and my size. Like, why aren't I doing that? And then of course, then you're sucked into this sport for the rest of your life. So yeah.
Have you always been quite competitive, Liv?
I have in like many different like fields, like school especially, and then of course this sport as well, because it's very not easy to compare yourself, but when it's just you and one other person in an enclosed space and one of you can win, then it's like, well, you know, that's
not many other people to blame, is there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of like the ideal, you know, one of the ideal ways to kind of test yourself. So I have, and I've definitely got a lot more like chill about it as I've gotten older. I know I sound like a boomer saying that, but yeah, I think I have always been like a little bit competitive.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I've got a younger brother, but he and I are completely different. So he has no interest in like training, like he's doing his like computer science degree, like he's super maths and science, and we just have like absolutely nothing in common. We don't even look very similar. So I'm not sure where my competitive energy comes from because it's not from that.
Yeah, you didn't play like beat him at video games?
No. Maybe I have to do a little bit deeper psychoanalysis on myself to see.
Better spent training, I reckon.
Yeah, true.
How did you, so you, forgive me if I get this wrong, but you've completed a degree in law?
Yeah, so end of last year I did my, like finished my law and my arts degree. Took me a hot minute because I was fighting and training every day during. So longer than I would have liked, but yeah, just finished my law degree.
24, that's still pretty good, right? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't do university. I don't know like what kind of time expectancy there is on stuff.
Yeah, I think especially like at ANU Law, there's this kind of very big, like wanky kind of self obsessed, like ANU brain, we've sometimes called it, where it's like you've got to get in at 18 and then like get out at like 22 and you've got like a clerkship offer and you're going to be an associate. So I think the space I was operating in my last year, I was sitting in classes with like 21 and 22 year olds. And I know the age gap isn't like that different, but it was still just like very weird. So yeah. I think it was part of that. Like you lose a sense of perspective when you're in this like hyper competitive environment that's like not the gym, where it's a lot more relaxed and like, you know, different ages and different styles and, you know, different experience can work together, whereas like the academic setting is, I think, very different.
Well, I have seen Suits, so I do understand that that is a very competitive industry. Yeah,
it's another good show. Yeah.
That is a great show, that one. Until about season 5, then it just becomes the same, and I assume that's probably what it's like working in a law firm. Yeah.
The place that I work is very different to Suits. I'm in a community legal centre. I'm at the Women's Legal Centre here in Canberra, and we're like a free service, like government funded, to help women who are experiencing domestic violence and things like that with family law and employment and things like that. So it's way more relaxed, not like Suits at all, but I do like to say when someone asks me what I do, I'm like, oh, have you seen Meghan Markle in Suits and how she's that's my job. And so like, a good sense of like a good reference point that I definitely do not do. But yeah, the place that I work is like incredibly different. It's not corporate at all. I think if I had to work in a corporate office, I would want to die. So yeah, it's very different, but I love it.
How did you find yourself working there?
So during my degree, I used to work also for the Labor Party and I, and like community engagement, and I liked it, but I was doing my law degree and I was like, oh, everything sucks. Like government stuff sucks. Like commercial stuff sucks. Like when am I going to find what I like? And then I started doing like the whole holistic, like family law and like environmental law and the stuff where it's more kind of about like not to be sappy, but like helping people. And I was like, oh, like I could do this and not want to, you know, I could do this and be okay with it. And yeah. And then I found myself at Women's and everyone is just like super lovely, because the work is quite harrowing at times, but like the culture is really good. And I was like, oh, this sounds really good. And then the more that I've been there, the more that I've enjoyed the work and like loved the people and everything. So yeah. And I also, you know, in this kind of, again, really sappy way, you know, nice to be something, part of something bigger than yourself, part of a movement and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sadly, still such a needed service too, which is.
Yeah.
You say harrowing. What have you got a good way to separate work from the rest of your, I mean, I imagine fighting's kind of a good release after doing work that I imagine could be pretty full on.
Oh, definitely. And because we have a lot of like programs at work. We have a lot of things built into the work that we do that like allow to like to debrief and to deal with vicarious trauma and burnout and like the stress of the job and like being able to do the really hard work and then still be able to like come every day and not take it on. And part, like every time we do that, I'm always talking about the gym and I'm always talking about fighting and I'm always like, well, cool, I can have a shit day at work and then as soon as I go to the gym, I'm going to be punched in the face. And so I'm going to have to think about that and I'm going to have to switch my mind to deal with that. And then, you know, 2 hours later, you're like, oh, I've completely forgotten about my day. So yeah, it's like probably the best way to, I mean, it sounds a bit counterintuitive to some people, like to de-stress, I think, because when someone's standing in front of you trying to hit you, like you actually can't think about, oh, fuck, like that's such a sad story. Or like, oh my God, I forgot I didn't do this. Like you are forced to be in the moment. So I think, yeah, training is such a good thing to deal with. And also having, I think, training with like good people as well, they're going to like it's going to be a positive environment when you're at the gym. So you're not just like, you know, reminded by like bad stuff, or you get there and there's like politics and you're like, feeling weird about it. But yeah, I think training is always my go-to. And I sometimes drop little like fighting tips when we have like big group sessions on how to manage stress. And it always sounds fucked out of context. Like, there was one where we were talking about like de-escalating people and, you know, like managing how you feel when you get heightened. And I was like, yeah, before fights, Anthony tells me that you've got to move your jaw around heaps because you keep stress here. So you have to like, you know, do this and like move your, and like really, you know, get into it and like move your mouth. And everyone looked at me like, and then I suddenly felt so like, and they were like, wait, fight? Like what? Like we're fighting. And I was like, it's just a general, you know, stress management tactic, no worries, but, you know, that kind of stuff. So like, oh yeah, you know, when you're about to go and punch someone and be punched in front of so many people with light, like, you really have to manage your anxiety then. And everyone's like,
sounds like when you're a kid at school and you're like, my dad told me
that. Yes.
Everyone looks at you like, mate, the earth ain't flat. Yeah, shit.
Ah, oh, that's good. That's really good. So, okay, so can we go through your career, your fight career a little bit? So, yeah, 10 years, maybe take us back to your first amateur fight. What was that like?
Oh, my God. That was it's so weird because, like, I remember it so well, but I can't remember any of the fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you get that all the time. Like, that's how the adrenaline dump works and how the – like, how your brain works for it. But I was 17 and it was in Fitzy's Tavern in Logan in Queensland, and I had, like, no idea who this other girl was. It was, like, big gloves, headgear, like, shin guards, but I think cloth shin guards, elbow guards, like, you know, all padded, like, I think, yeah, 3-2s. And I remember just being like super excited, but super jumpy. But like, I was nervous, but I couldn't really like tell that I was nervous yet. I was just kind of like, oh, this feels really weird. And then I went in the ring and like, it was literally like, I just can't remember anything at all. Mm. I remember like, it was just, yeah, it was kind of like those bits in movies where a character is like about to die and they like see light. Do you know what I mean? Then they like come out the other side. I remember just kind of going in and being like, oh my God. And then like coming out after like the 6 minutes and being like, I'm so fucking tired. I can't remember any of that. Probably fights 1 to about fight 6 is like, you kind of go in and you're like stumbling around. You're like, I can't even see what's going on. And then fights like 7 to 8 and 9, you're kind of like, oh no, I can hear what's going on. I can start listening. And then, yeah, soon you finally start to like realize what you're doing and be fine with it. But I would love to tell you more about my first fight, but yes.
That footage of it?
I don't actually know. There might be like a video that someone, because it wasn't like streamed or anything. Mm. But maybe I'll try and dig it up or something like that.
They're great to go back
it
and
it would
watch.
Be great.
I've done that.
Yeah, and I'll be like, oh, not what I did just that.
Like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's such a good way to describe it, though. It is kind of like an assault on the senses, and yeah. I think that how you just described it is all the more reason people should just do as many amateurs as possible.
Oh my
because
gosh.
You do yeah. just have to kind of you just have to get used to the smell, you have to get used to the what it's like to walk out, and the more you do it, the less you'll be stressing about the shit that does not matter, and more, you know, focusing on what you're there to do.
Oh, definitely. And like, it is just ripping the Band-Aid off is like kind of the best way to put it. And like, you can replicate a lot of the like stress for it in training, but it's so different. Like, we travel for every single fight that we do. So you're yeah. always in another gym or you're always in another place. Everyone's yelling for the other person.
Yes.
And that's not something that you get at the gym every day. And yeah, there's just so many like different factors as well that just make you like out of your comfort zone. So yeah, the only thing you can do is just like keep exposing yourself to it to make it seem more normal, because like when you do strip it back a little bit, it's like you do know why you're here, like you do know why you're doing it. It's just in the moment your brain's like, ah, we're not in the safe space, like what are we doing?
I wonder if it's, I don't know, this could be way off, but if it's like some form of protective kind of thing that our brain does for us so that we don't remember traumatic experiences as such. Does that make sense? Or am I a cuckoo on that? Yeah. Like, I don't know where I'm going with that. I think
no, definitely. Like, I think, yeah,
because it's a pretty crazy thing getting in there. Someone's trying to hit you. You're trying to hit them. You're trying to like survive, kind of thing. And until, like you said, until you hit that 8, 9, 10 fight mark where you get used to it, you probably do want to forget about it because it can be pretty traumatic if it doesn't go your way. Very well.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Have you been knocked out yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I hope I didn't put.
Yeah,
that
so.
Yeah, that's an even weirder experience as well because you some of them you just don't remember. Don't remember it happening. Then you watch the footage back that night and you're like, holy fuck, why didn't you guys tell me that that happened, you know? And they're like, we did. You just can't even remember us telling you.
And then you're like, am I being gaslit by like
the video? Oh, man, it's a horrible, like watching it back and you're just like, damn. But anyway, yeah, you don't want to remember it, I guess.
Yeah. And I suppose that's good because it makes you come back to training the next week and be like, oh,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, retention strategy. Yeah.
Muay Thai's retention strategy. Oh, shit.
Liv, what's your fight name?
So my fight name is T-Bone. It was not chosen for me, as I know it's a theme on this podcast, is you can't choose your own fight name.
T-Bone.
Yeah, because I'm also vegan, but I'm one of the cool ones,
You're what? Sorry, I missed that. What was that?
I'm one of the cool ones. So
okay, I'm one of the cool ones. Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of the cool ones.
Yeah, you and Springseer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, Anthony, this was when I was like still like quiet. Like I think I was probably like 18 or something like that. And he was like, I've got a fight name for you and it's T-Bone. And I was like, oh my God, Anthony, that's so embarrassing. Like, I can't, like, what? And he was like, yeah, no, because, like, it's funny because you're vegan. And I'm like, yeah. And then he was like, yeah, and it's also, like, you know, you're very, you don't look scary. Like, you're very, you know, no one would, like, expect you to, like, want to knock their head off. And then all of a sudden in a fight, bam, T-Bone.
You do, yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I could deal with that. And then the more that I've, like, had it, the more that I'm like, no, fight names are not meant to be serious. They're meant to be fun. Like, and I have liked it a lot more as I've grown with it, I suppose.
Do you watch Seinfeld?
I've watched, like, multiple random episodes. But
oh, there's an episode where the character George wants to make his own nickname and he wants to be called T-Bone. So as soon as I heard that, that's just, like, what I draw myself to straight away.
I'm going to find a clip of that.
Yeah, find a clip. It'll be on YouTube. Just George name. T-Bone,
George
just
has a T-Bone clip. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny as.
So we saw you fight on the last route a few routes ago now against Brittany Thomas.
Oh yeah.
And like talk about a contrast between you do not look super intimidating. Please don't take offense to that. You come out and you do look sweet and like someone that I'd like to have like brunch with. Yes. And then like Britt just looks like she's gonna fucking burn holes through your head with her eyeballs.
God. Yeah, she's got that stare, doesn't she? Yeah,
but the fight was like you fought amazingly. Like that fight, the two of you was just it was beautiful to watch. And you do not hold back, man. Like,
that was so much fun. I loved that fight, and I had a really good chat to Britt afterwards because she was, you know, like, yeah, you know, like I'm, you know, I get in my like I'm in this like persona that I'm in order to fight, in order to like, you know, psych myself up. And I was like, thank God, because I was really scared of you.
Just has to turn it on, right? Get into character. Exactly. And then
I feel like I wouldn't be able to do that. Like I wouldn't be able to take myself seriously, but I wouldn't be able to, I think, lock into that kind of personality. Like I think I just have to, maybe this is also just another, I just have to like try and make it as normal and as like standard as possible. Act like myself. And then I'm like, it's okay. But yeah, because like that's what people ask me, especially like dudes that, you know, ask about the sport. They're like, oh, like, when you, like, do a press conference and you, like, face off, like, what do you do? And I'm like
okay. Yo, we don't do press conferences.
Like, yeah, anymore, I'm like, this ain't the UFC. The money and the resource and the influence that we have. And, so if it was a whole, like, oh, like, you know, you hate your opponent type thing, like, I, like, no, like, I wouldn't want to do the sport. Like that's kind of, I think it's that's the big misunderstanding of, I think, why a lot of people do the sport or train or fight is it's like, oh, you just want to like knock the other person's head off. And it's like, not really. Like you're not there because you hate them. Like you're there because you love what you do. So,
Yeah. There's no room for like for that in Muay Thai, I don't think. Not here in Australia. Like, you see it in the UFC, people have personas and they play this character and that character to get views and all that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think that because I'm not sure if it's like more of a like a girl, like when girls fight each other thing, but like every single opponent I've had, you go up afterwards and you're like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, that was a great fight. And like, you get a photo together and like all that. And I think something like you always notice is like at the end of every fight, everyone just falls into like, you're also exhausted, but everyone just hugs each other. Yeah. Like, happen between opponents after fights. And for people that don't do the sport, they're like, what are they doing? Like,
yeah.
Why are they hugging? And it's like, well, you've just gone through this thing with like, you know, you appreciate the time that you appreciate that they're in the ring as well. And, you know, it's a respect thing. It's not you're not there because you don't like them.
Mm. Yeah. And like, I think people kind of fall into one or two camps, I reckon. You're either like yourself or like, I'm thinking like Somi or who else, like Yolanda, just like love being there. You're just smiling, you're happy. Oh, Grace Allison was another one, right? She was just like so stoked to be there. God, so just like beautiful, bubbly smile. Or you have to turn on your game face and like whatever works, man. But you're right. At the end of it, it's usually just like, that's done now. Mad respect for you because you've put in like I've put in. We've done the thing. And now we can just go and like, you know, chill together.
Yeah. And I think that's like makes it a fun thing that you want to then like do again or like builds to the community. I think when there's like, you know, good, like everyone supports each other, you know, and the, you know, competition aspect is like resigned to the competition part of it. Like it's not the rest of your interactions with the other person.
So if you're not putting yourself into a persona, what are you doing to prepare yourself for a fight prior, like the week of? Are you a box ticker? I weigh this much, I'm doing good, I can run this amount of Ks in this pace, my resting heart rate's like, do you know what I mean? What gives you the confidence that you need in order to be able to jump in there and do it?
That's a really good question. I think I'm like a box ticker kind of in general. So I think I maintain that a little bit, but I think I try and just like remind myself why I'm doing it, because week of the fight is where you get a little bit like, oh, like I'm hungry, I'm sore, like this is happening. And then you start to get a little bit like, why am I even doing this sport? Like you can kind of get those existential thoughts creeping in. And I think I'm just trying to bring myself back to like, there's a reason you're here and you're here because you love doing this and it's all going to be fine. And I think I try and like bring myself back to not square one, but kind of like back to the foundation of like, all right, let's really think about it. What, like you're, you know, you've been so excited for this fight, like remember that. Or like I try and just remember all the good things about it to kind of try and drown out all of that other stuff. And I think that's the way that I can prepare, is trying to like remember why I'm doing it and be like, okay, and I've done that and I've all the like everything I've doing has been leading up to it. So like there's a reason you're feeling like stressed or anxious or nervous about it. And something that like Anthony always says when we're like wrapping hands, because as you know from the email, he loves the opportunity to chat. So it'll always be like, you know, are you feeling nervous or stressed? And you're like, yeah, a little bit. And he's like, good. That makes you human. Like there's a reason you're doing this and everyone else is on their couch watching you. And it's like, yeah, so true. So true.
Why do you fight?
That's a good question as well. I think I fight because I love training, and fighting is like the best way to test your training because this is like the hardest sport in the world, in my opinion. And it really tests like how fit you are, how composed you are, how well you can problem solve in the moment, and just like puts everything together in like this high pressure environment that really like I just love. And but I think it all kind of comes from, I really love to train and I always have. And when I started at the gym, it was always like the fittest people at the gym are the fighters. And so that's what I want to do. And then it kind of just like, I got that in my head at 15 and then now I'm still here. So I think when I think about it, because sometimes you think about why you fight, I'm like, oh, like that's a really good point. Because like I'll listen to this podcast and I'll hear other people's things and I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. I don't relate to that. But that's what it always comes back to, is like, I love training and this is just like the best way to test your training, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. It's like hitting a triathlon. Those guys are nuts, right? So much training goes into just being able to do it. And if you don't actually do the thing that you're training for, how do you know? How do you know if you could?
Exactly. Because I did the Canberra Marathon 2 years ago, and that was a lot of training, a lot of like running for it. And you find yourself like running at like 5 a.m. and you're like, oh, like this sucks. And then, you know, you're kind of and then you're like, oh, fighting is quite similar to this. Like you're doing a lot of stuff that you're like, ugh, okay. But then like when you're not doing it, you're like, I wish I was at the gym, or like I wish I was doing something active. So it really is,
Joe, didn't you tell me once about the difference between amateur and professional is like the willingness to do the repetitive, boring shit, like to commit to the mundane
That's right. Lines. And because the excitement of it, like kind of like what you said before about by the time you get to fight week, you're fucking over it.
Mm.
But the excitement that you're in when you take the fight is very different to how you feel 2 or 3 weeks into training for said fight. And like a professional just keeps going, because they know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. But an amateur just, they fall off sometimes. They'll do have one fight and then stop.
Yeah, and that's such a dangerous thing with, I think, training, because there are so many people, you know, like you will like see at the gym and, you know, they're really good at training, and you kind of don't want to push them to fight too quickly because it could completely ruin their relationship with the sport.
Yeah.
And so it is quite dangerous. And so like at Phoenix, we've got, Anthony's got his fight team fitness test that is like notoriously shit.
Oh, tell me about, I want to know all about that.
So we had it quite recently, which is why it's fresh in my brain.
Yep.
But I mean, the approach is kind of like fighting will test your fitness like nothing else. And so if you can go through hard sparring, weights, sprints, and like the, I think it's like a 2-3 minute, like just like repetitive stuff on the bag and run up Mount Ainslie, then you can fight. Like that's the, you know, it's just about like the shit things over and over again and thinking you're done with sparring and then being like, doesn't matter, go to the barbell. Mm-hmm. And then you're done like doing the pad work and you're like, cool, put your shoes on, go to Mount Ainslie. And then it's also like, cool, see you on Monday. And it's just like that. Then it's a really good, it also like tests the person in the moment, because I think fighting, you're like, oh, that would be so sick to like have all my friends come and, you know, like be there. And then it's like, all right, well, that's not what it's about. It's about like being so incredibly gassed in the moment that you're just trying to keep on your own 2 feet. And if you can run at Mount Ainslie like within the time, then like that's a good test to if your tank is going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, but like I also think it's what you said about cool, see you on Monday. Because it's, you literally have a day and a half off. You come in, you spar Saturday, or we spar on Saturday mornings as
well. Yeah, we spar as well.
And
yeah.
Then like that's like a 2 hour training session. Mm. Cool, see you on Monday. Recover your mind in a day and a half, not just your body, your mind.
No,
like,
yeah.
Get over the fact that you've just trained your ass off, because you're going to train your ass off again for another 6 days.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like there's people that, you know, have come to the gym and been like, oh, I want to fight, and they'll do the fitness test. And, you know, even if they are relatively fit and they can pass, if they're not consistent, then it's like, well.
What's the point?
And exactly. And I think consistency also contributes to like other people at the gym as well, because if you're not consistent but you want to fight, that's not fair, because all of your sparring partners, all of your training partners, they're there all the time. So if you're only going to be there for yourself, then it's like, well, no one's going to have an interest in training you to fight, because that's not the attitude that we want to cultivate, or that's good for, you know, group, the good team training dynamic at all. So it's also consistency is also about showing up for other people, which is another extrinsic motivator that I think, you know, sometimes when you feel like shit, you're like, I don't want to go to the gym. It's like, yeah, but all my friends are going to be there, and this person's training to fight, and, you know, they were there for me when I was training to fight. And so that just really gets you into a good rhythm of going there for, you know, not yourself, like going there because you want to be part of the team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got to be there to bash your teammates when they
exactly.
Spot on. We've been putting Dylan through the absolute ringer at the moment. He's fighting the same night as you.
Yeah.
On Roots. And it's great. Everyone's behind him. Everyone's watching him hit pads, working hard and like getting in on the shark tanking and all that. It's great.
So much.
He hates them. Yeah. They love him. It's a love-hate kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's mutual respect and it's shared, you know, everyone loves it and we all have to do it. So
yeah. And they know that, oh damn, he's gonna do that to us when it's our turn.
It'll be payback time.
That's the point of it, right?
And it is always good to watch someone fighting. Like when someone, you know, beats you up in training to like to watch them in the ring do it to someone else, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Like there was ooh, a reason. I know how that feels. Ooh.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like we had a guy from the gym on the weekend fighting and like, you know, he'll like often pop out a little spinning back fist that'll get you and you're like, oh, it's so annoying. And he did it on the weekend and we're all like, yes, it's worked.
Yeah, copping all of those in training was worth it for him.
Yeah, definitely.
What have you been your career highlights so far, Liv? Noting that it's a, you know, you're early in your career so far, but yeah, what's been highlights for you?
I'm not sure. I think like, I mean, in terms of career, like highlight, like that specific word, fighting at the casino in the Gold Coast on War on the Shore was like, oh my God.
That would have been sick.
That was sick because, you know, big show, like a lot of, you know, like hype and stuff for it. And so that was like, you know, genuinely quite a, like, cause I walked out and like the lights were crazy and like the room was massive and I was like, oh my God. And, you know, I was fighting, Brittany and I was like, oh, this is like such a step up. Like, so I think that was really good because I remember walking out and it was like, so like lights and music. And of course, like no one was yelling for me. And I was just like, that's fine. Like I'm all good. And then they were like announcing us and they're like, and Brittany in the corner with like 37 fights. And I like was like, because Anthony didn't tell me that. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. But I think because I was so like ready to go in the moment because of the environment, I was like, nah, doesn't matter.
Well, you're
like,
already in there. You can't be
I'm already in there. So
you don't have time to be worried about that then.
Yeah. And I think being able to like pull that fight together and like stay composed when like, yeah, it was like five, like, you know, going to be five threes, like, you know, like opponent with way more experience and then, yeah, managed to pull it off. That was like a big career highlight for me, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think my also ability to, like, not ability, but, like, showing myself that I can, like, do a lot of hard things and keep training and keep fighting at the same time is, like, just something that I'm always like, oh, like, I never thought I'd be finish my degree and still fighting or, like, you know, about to be a lawyer and still fighting. So I suppose that in a more kind of, like, holistic way is also probably another career highlight, I'd say. But, yeah, room for more. So, yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask, you're a vegan.
Yeah.
How long have you been a vegan for?
And
forever? Or is it, well, like, since you, before you even started training Muay Thai, or did it something you swapped to?
Yeah, well, it was like around the same year that I did start training Muay Thai. I was about, like, end of 13, 14 type thing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just did that, like, I was, you know, a kid with access to the internet and I watched all those vegan documentaries and was like, oh my God, you guys don't know what's happening in slaughterhouses. And got a little bit insufferable about it to my friends. And then like definitely mellowed out when I, you know, realized that wasn't like socially acceptable to like talk about all the time. And yeah, I think when I was so young, I was like, and like I kind of, you know, was just like, ah, oh, like it's just so normal for me now. So like, you know, when I like turned 18 and like moved out and yeah, just kind of started to like, you know, like it was just so, it's what I've been doing for so long that it just seems normal to me now because people ask me why now and I'm like, that's a really good question. It's just habit. Like it is just purely out of habit and purely out of just like, yeah, it's what I've been doing. And like, yeah, so I don't really think about it that much because it's super just like normal for me now. But it's interesting because I think like plant-based athletes is a really big thing recently. And I've kind of like, and I think that's really good and interesting and like, you know, helps me because there's a lot more like products coming out now that like are really good, but I've never done it for health reasons or like strength or fitness reasons. It's always just like because I got a bee in my bonnet when I was a teenager and kind of just kept going with it.
My sister had said bee in her bonnet. And it lasted about a week until we had steaks on Sunday.
Oh, I've seen that happen. That's
oh, I'm sure you so have. It's
yeah,
yeah. Like I understand the ethical reasons why. That's for sure. Have you ever worked with like a nutritionist for weight cutting and stuff for fights?
So I went to one last year after because the fight at the start of last year that was like a shit weight cut, and I went to one just to kind of be like, yeah, like I just want to know what's going on. And, you know, I also want to check that all my like vitamins and stuff are in order. And she was like, well, they're not. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. So I kind of helped, like she helped me less for the weight cutting side, but more of kind of like getting all my nutrients in and all of my like levels to be the same again. And then after that fight, I also, that's when I was like, I'm not fighting at 58 again. That sucked.
Yeah.
So then took that fight with Brittany at 62. And was kind of like, oh, you know, two weight classes, bit of a power difference, and was like it was not as, you know, I was fine. Like mm-hmm. It wasn't completely overwhelming. So then I was like, why don't I just do that? Like, why don't I not worry about like having a shit weight cut and just like, you know, like fight closer to what I like, much closer to what I walk around at and just like be happy. So yeah, I've gotten like that help before, but no, because people will kind of ask, like, you know, other people at the gym will ask, like, oh, like, how do you, like, do it when you're vegan and stuff? And I'm like, oh, I've never really thought about it. It's never been, like, a different thing to me, yeah.
Well, you've been doing it a long time. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Liv, what's your, you've got a fight coming up for Nyara Boyle from Eight Blade Warrior, so it's like an Eight Blade grudge match rematch post fighting Brett. That would be awesome. Yeah. What weight is that fight at?
That's at 62.
At 62, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you reckon that's your sweet spot?
I think so. Like I did that last one against Brit and that was good. Like, you know, didn't want to die in the lead up to it.
Good.
That was fun. Yeah, but I'm not really sure yet. Like I still got, you know, like I'll probably, you know, have that, see how I go, you know, I'm not like locking into one, but
yeah.
No, I think that's the nature of the sport. You kind of like go up and down with.
Yeah. But that feels about right for now though. You know, like
yeah,
it feels like
right
good
now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It all, like a lot of that can kind of like, because like you said, you're worried initially about them being too big and too powerful. Mm. But then like if you're fighting girls like you that aren't cutting a lot of weight, you're not going to notice it. But then come across someone that's, you know, 6 foot tall and cutting a ton of weight to get down there, that's when you'll notice it. But it'll only be one fight.
Exactly, yeah.
So what's the problem, I guess?
Yeah, and the way that I like to think about that is I'm like, oh, that'll be a fun challenge in the moment. Like,
that's right.
You know, have to do just, you know, just a new thing to deal with, a different way to have to problem solve. So, yeah.
I think Britt was a bit taller than you, yeah?
Yes. Well, I think almost everyone I've fought has been taller.
I don't think Nyara will. Is Nyara very tall?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, that'll be
more similar.
Nyara fought someone from my gym, Emily, and Emily's like very tall. And I know that Nyara wasn't as tall as her, but Emily's mm-hmm. much taller than me as well. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Hmm. Big great fight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'll probably be out the back doing shit, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll probably just be doing what I'm told.
you will be
I can see why your training partners describe you as this just like humble, energetic, like eternally positive person and like hype girl at the gym. I can see why they speak so fondly about you, Liv, in terms of just that energy that you bring. Is that like that's on brand for you at Phoenix, is it?
Pretty much. Like I think because I've trained with people who have, especially when they're fighting, get very in their own heads and like take their weight cut out on other people and take their like stress out on other people. And I've always been like, oh, I don't want to partner you. Like, I don't want to hang out with you before or after class. So I think trying to be like, you know, tune into your like social battery a little bit at the gym just makes it a more fun experience. Yeah. And like, I love everyone that I train with. We all have to see each other every day. And you just get a really good like sense of solidarity and sense of community. And so, yeah, you really just get like really good, positive, healthy relationships with the people you train with because you're all there for each other. So, yeah, I really like, you know, love everyone at the gym. And often if I'm having like a day where I'm just like, oh, I really don't want to do anything, I'll get to the gym and suddenly I'll be like, oh, my God, my favorite place. And then like your energy is just picked back up. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to be nice even when you're there, right? Oh, no,
and it's
sure
also like easier to coach people that are nice rather than people who are in their own heads and being grumpy about it because that's just like pulling teeth.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, last question from me. What's the plan for this year, Liv? What sort of are you a goal setter? Have you got certain shows that you want to get onto? What are your plans?
I mean, don't really have like shows I want to get to, other things I want to do. I want to try and become a lawyer in June. That's like my biggest like
life goal
thing that I've got.
Yep.
So I think as soon as I get my practicing certificate, then that'll be like, okay, cool. But in terms of like fighting goals, it's always kind of just been like, see what comes, like, you know, roll with the punches type thing. See what opportunities are there, like not trying, because I think it's very easy to kind of like get caught up in like, well, if I don't fight on this show by this date, then like, what am I doing? I failed. And I think trying to be a little bit more like flexible with it, trying to keep my training up, because Anthony's got this kind of mantra at the gym that we don't really do like fight camps. You kind of train all the time and then we fight and pick it up, but you're always ready. Like you're always at a good, like you're always at like, you're like a good fitness level. And the only time you change that to fight is only because we want to change up certain things in order to win the fight. Like we're not doing nothing and then picking it up suddenly. Like it's constant training all the time. And that's what I love. And that's why I have been at Phoenix for so long, because I really identify with that kind of training and I love it. So I think just like keeping up my training, trying to like, yeah, trying to see what comes. But yeah, nothing that I've got kind of on the horizon that I'm like, I have to do that. It's just kind of like seeing what comes and being like, yeah, I'll be able to do that. Because it's also, you know, like it is difficult because I'm like, I do that, but then I've also got these other plates spinning that I'm like, oh yeah, I want to fight, but also I want to like, you know, be admitted in this state. So it's a little bit difficult to be like, yes, I'm going to block out the whole year because I have so many other things that I want to do and will take time away from fighting and stuff. Yeah.
It's kind of a good fit. It's a good approach, because so much of it is out of your control as well. Like if you go, I want to be on this show or fight this person or whatever, like there are just so many variables that can get in the way
so many uncontrollable things. And it's so hard to try. Yeah. You can't kind of, yeah, because you can't control, like literally one thing could change and that's like your whole plan out the way. So yeah, trying to be a little bit more like, it's fine. Like duck above water type thing is, I think, the best way you can kind of approach it, in my opinion, at least.
At 24 years old, time is on your side.
Yeah, so true.
Very much so. So you're looking good like that. Yeah.
Amazing. All right, we're pretty much out of time, Liv. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. And we are very much looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at Roots. Everyone can get their tickets. There are still table tickets and GEA available. I think very, very few seated tickets. Or the live stream if you're interstate. So thanks, Liv. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Liv.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Female Fight Experience. If you like what you heard and want more, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you could rate and review us while you're there as well, we'd really appreciate that. It helps this podcast get into more ears and hopefully, ultimately, gets you some more fighting opponents. You can find us on Instagram at Female Fight Experience or on email at femalefightexperience@gmail.com. We love hearing your feedback, and any suggestions you have for future interview guests, make sure you send those our way as well. Thank you, and see you next week for more Female Fight Experience.